Blog Talk Radio. To all you fabulous listeners out there. My name is Meredith, also known as Foxy Mama. Here in this forum, we encourage you all to listen, call in, and share your amazing stories with us. Please feel free to ask questions pertaining to your weight loss journey, nutrition, wellness, fitness, and healthy lifestyles. And now, with no further ado, I am proud to introduce the host of our show, Big Dreams Talk Radio, Steve, the Health Minister Nicander.
Good evening. Good evening to Big Dreams Radio tonight, October 5th, Wednesday evening. I'm your host, Steve Sir Dropalot Nicander, and I've been on a weight loss and health recovery journey for just about 2 years now. In that time, I've managed to lose about nearly 400 pounds so far with nutrition, from whole nutrient-dense foods and lots of water, and a moderate to vigorous fitness plan. Since then, I've become a health activist, a safe foods advocate, public speaker, and now a writer. I've become involved with this producing this new and upcoming docu-based self-improvement reality show called Big Dreams. One of my big dreams is to reach out to those that are in desperate need of motivation and inspiration, and try to help them make that mind-body food and fitness connection in order to get themselves turned around in the right direction towards their health and wellness. I like to help these individuals with their chronic disease problems, help them just, you know, by trying to educate them and helping them identify their nutritional choices and their lifestyle, helping correct them. Hopefully, you know, by pointing those things out so they can get their illnesses turned around. You know, weight and related issues is probably going to be one of our main focuses with this show, and we want to speak and inspire to these people to take back control in their own lives and kind of redirect them to maximize and optimize their health and well-being. So we want to encourage them. And ultimately, you know, it all begins and ends with our brain, you know, our control center. So, although, you know, we really do have to have some kind of complete balance or homeostasis. So we have to kind of create an equilibrium in all three main phases, as I like to talk about, the mind, the body, and the spirit. So let's take this journey together, and we'll explore many areas of healthful living, so that we can all live out better lives and become the best that we all can be. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was talking about community involvement and how important that will be for us as Big Dreams to be reaching out to the communities involving when we are going out amongst the country and to meet and talk to people, getting community involvement on all all levels, whether it be from farmers markets to the local health systems, to try to reach out to these people and get community involvement to help these people. Because even though we might only be helping a few at a time there with the show, we want to get others that are in that community, the ones that are in those positions that really need help, the help that they can get from community involvement. That kind of like comes right into play with our guests tonight. They happen to be three medical students from the University of Massachusetts who came together in a unique way, and we'll let them tell you about that. And they decided to form a nonprofit organization called Woo Food. You know, we as Americans usually are pretty smart when it comes to figuring out solutions to dilemmas, let's say. And obesity and chronic illness in this country have become dilemmas at the smallest, and maybe even worse than that. These new upcoming doctors are smart enough to realize that there are ways and solutions that we can start making in this country that might only not only affect our immediate families and friends, like a lot of us are having successful, or even our own communities on a basis and a level that can affect change and have a ripple effect, actually. You know, that's the kind of the concept we're thinking about with the show. And these guys are kind of taking that in the same kind of realm when it comes to healthful eating and expounding upon that themselves. You know, big problems, as we were talking about, obesity has become more than that. It's an epidemic, and maybe some would even argue that it might even be a pandemic at this point. You know, when you start getting upwards of 20 million people, even in China, being affected by bad, poor food choices with and lifestyle-related diseases where they never had these before, you seem to find out that everything is kind of related to our nutritional values. I've had the opportunity of meeting a couple well-known doctors, including Mehmet Oz and Daniel Amen. They both agree that nutrition plays a vital part in trying to keep ourselves healthy in a healthful way. So, you know, I think that's imperative for us to realize that, you know, we can actually affect the quality of our own health by watching the quality of our food intake, our nutritional intake. You know, obviously, fitness plays a big part in that too. I'm sure we'll be talking about that in the coming minutes with our guests. But, you know, nutrition as a whole plays a huge part. And they've come up with a concept that's pretty unique in and of itself. I think it's a concept that not only does Big Dreams support, but I think it's one of these kind of concepts that could actually be taken with the right resources and applied almost on a national level, every city around. And in fact, you know, when you start to talk about healthful eating, you see it more and more in all the grocery stores you go around. It doesn't even matter almost in any one that you go in now. You're starting to see more and more healthful alternatives because, you know, the great part of it is that most people start to make these decisions on their own. I know in my 2 years of my health recovery, meeting all the people that I have, talking to so many people that have made this same nutritional health connection, they themselves have had some kind of major health issue in their life, or they've had loved ones in their family that have also had some kind of health problems, and they've realized that sometimes you know, the medicated approach doesn't always cure it. You know, it sometimes reflects and maybe even rebuffs some of the symptoms that we're having. But I think these gentlemen, all three of them, I would think, Adam Chin, Mitch Lee, and Matt DeWolf, would probably all agree that maybe medication shouldn't be that first line of defense in our fight towards disease. And we can do simple things, especially with the nutritional related in the nutrition department, and help ourselves in a great, great way. So I want you guys to call in. The number, the guest call-in number would be 347-989-1473. That number is 347-989-1473. You can call in if you have any questions for our guests when they come on to the show. And I'm sure we'll have a lot to discuss. You know, when we talk about doctors, doctors themselves have taken what is called the Hippocratic Oath. Now, Hippocrates, and any of those that don't even know, he's really considered the father of modern medicine. One of his most famous things, and why the doctors even take that oath, is to do no harm. That's probably the most famous one that they recite when they take that oath. But one of the ones I like to quote on a regular basis, which I do many, many, many times, is he also said, "Let thy food be thy medicine, and medicine be thy food." This has appeared in many documentary talking about these things. It even mentioned in our director, Lee Fulkerson. He happens to have directed Forks Over Knives, the documentary that just got theatrical release not too long ago, talking about exactly this, that how you, the nutrition and the whole food nutrition that you can intake can immediately affect your health in so many different ways, in curing or even reversing things like heart disease, certainly diabetes, maybe even some cancers in some respects. All these are lifestyle-related diseases, and it's the things that we do and the things that sometimes we don't do that affect the quality of our health. And so, you know, we have to start to realize that sometimes we always complain about the way we feel or the reasons that we're getting the diseases or the viruses or stuff that we have, and we have to consider that if you make simple lifestyle changes, we can actually turn our health around pretty drastically. I mean, I'm a perfect example of that. And like I said, with this show, we'll be able to show you many, many other people that are having the same kind of drastic transformational effects on their health as well. It doesn't take but have a loved one sick or yourself get to a point where you start to consider, other means in ways to get yourself healthy. And that's why I think I embarked on my journey, is because I was sick of just taking pills. And, you know, when I started doing my research, I found out that nutrition was one of those things right across the board that it had to be paid particularly attention to. I mean, yes, I used the natural supplementation and obviously grabbed vast amounts of water, and, of course, the fitness as well. And I think it's a combination, you know. It's a simple combination that can really help people. So I think we all should consider that as well. We're still waiting on our guest. I'm actually waiting on that we're going to have our moderator helping us out. Maybe, possibly not. I do not know. But waiting for anyone to call in. Again, that number is 347-989-1473. It's 347-989-1473. Trying to open the chat room here again. I'm actually getting a little intermittent problem with my internet as well, so bear with me if it goes in and out. Right now it seems to be fine. Actually waiting for our guests to appear. We'll talk about some of the other things. We've got a Halloween coming up very soon, and we also have the holidays right around the corner. So we're still working on webisodes for those issues or actually events coming up. So we stay tuned for that. Okay, well, we have the caller in. I'm going to see the caller in and say, Welcome to Big Dreams Radio. Who's this?
This is Matt DeWolf, along with Mitch Lee and Adam Chin from Woo Food.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Great.
Awesome.
We had a little trouble with the internet as well. We tried calling in a couple of times, but looks like we're all set now.
Okay, excellent. Great deal. So let's start talking about, I think the first thing, we talk about the genesis of your project, right? You know, I think any great idea comes about with a cause, and then obviously the cause becomes an effect or something that you want to affect. What was your cause, or what was like, what was your cause to the conception of this concept of Woo Foods? You know, what brought you to make the decision of actually creating this entity that you have?
Sure. Well, this is Mitch, by the way. We're all a little bit of foodies at heart, and we were trying to explore some Worcester area diners, and Worcester is known for one thing, for its diners, and also for the smiley face and health, birth control, but we wanted to try out the diners and give that a shot. Problem is, what we kind of saw is that there's a conflict between just eating out, enjoying yourself, and leading a healthy lifestyle, and it was kind of upsetting to us that you can't just do both, and it's not easy to do that.
Right.
So it started off actually as a little bit of a project to eliminate trans fat from Worcester restaurants voluntarily with like a community-based movement rather than just jumping right to a ban. And then after Matt, Adam, and I got to talking, we figured out that we could really do a lot more than that. And that's when we started developing a real criteria and thought we can develop a certification criteria. And Matt, if you want to add anything else.
Yeah, sure. So we decided to go about developing a criteria that would be easy for restaurants to implement, as well as keep the option for a customer's choice open. So we really wanted to make sure that in developing the criteria and having the restaurants implement it, the people that love certain things about a restaurant would still be able to go in and order those choices. So Woo Food's really built around two main ideas. One is having healthful choices available in the easy choice, and the other thing is preserving choice and tradition. So we really want to make sure that, you know, the integrity of a restaurant is kept, and they can still offer all of their old choices as well as highlight some of the more healthful options.
Yeah, because, you know, this, and I think that's why I think the concept is just wonderful, because, you know, you're not really trying to go in and totally recreate their menus. There's certain restaurants that are known for certain things, and that's why people go to them. I think all you're trying to do is convince these places to maybe just add some more helpful options along the way and actually affect change and give out more options.
Yeah, and in addition to just, you know, having the options available, we really wanted to make it the easy choice. There's a lot of research that shows when people go out to eat, they eat, you know, four times as much as they should, and also tend to choose the hamburgers and other red meat and things like that that'll not really be great for their health. But we wanted to make it easy to order the healthy choices, so they don't have to ask the waitress, to ask the cook or chef to change the meal, to take out the refined grains and put whole grains in, and to use more, you know, healthy oils instead of butter, or have less cheese and then put more vegetables in. That would just be being a tough customer. So we wanted to make that easy.
Yeah, exactly. Because a lot of people that are really health minded, you know, that's what we've had to do. You literally have to go in and almost like deconstruct a meal. I think your concept is wonderful in that regard, because you basically will certify a certain meal. And that means the customer can come in, it's a no-brainer. They know that by ordering that meal with your appropriate logo by it, you're going to be able to get a healthy meal the way they would probably want it. But you didn't take this step further. Talk about how they do the meal sharing and then
So yeah, I think what this is Adam, by the way. I think what you're mentioning is the half for now, half for later option.
Right.
Right. So you know, we found, and I think everybody out there kind of gets the same sense that, you know, if somebody brings a plate of food out, if the waiter brings a plate of food out, you know, you feel this push to kind of finish your plate. You know, you're always taught as a kid, make sure you eat everything on your plate. And, you know, the problem is these portions are huge at restaurants. So one of the criteria that we have is that these restaurants actually offer some way to reduce the portion size. So one of those things that we've suggested to restaurants is wrap up half of the meal immediately and kind of put it aside for you so that you have lunch for tomorrow, and kind of serve you the rest of that portion, you know, that night. So you have, you know, less of that push, that psychological push to eat everything, you know, in front of you, and then you still have the benefit of having something wrapped up for tomorrow and kind of spread out those calories.
Yeah, and it's really good because it not only plays into that effect, but it also is an ideal option for, like, some of our friends that have had the weight loss surgery, you know, because they themselves cannot eat a whole meal at one time a lot of the time. And I've gone out with several of my friends, you know, and they usually only eat about half of whatever the portion is, sometimes even less. That way, with having half it already wrapped up, you already know you've got that second meal for you. You're getting more bang for your buck, especially for them. And, you know, it's like you said, it's not right in front of your face. You don't feel the extra pressure. And, you know, I think you guys would all agree that, I mean, sometimes our portion controls in this country get a little absurd anyway. You know, there's some restaurants that serve a plate full of food that could probably maybe even three people, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And we also, as you were mentioning about people that have gone through bariatric surgery, we were talking to a surgeon here, and they have to hand out cards, sort of like a doctor's note, saying that it's reasonable to, that they're allowed to order off the kids' menu or something and order a small meal, which is also kind of absurd. You have to have a doctor's note in order to eat a healthy portion nowadays, which is kind of interesting. And we don't want to, you know, stigmatize anybody that's either had bariatric surgery or just wants a, you know, smaller meal. So we want to make that normalized so that those people don't have to hand over a doctor's note just to eat healthy.
Right. Yep. Great idea. And you, as being doctors, you see firsthand what obesity and chronic lifestyle disease is doing for the quality of our life. You know, so many times, you know, we break it all down. You know, I mean, when you break it down, really, quite frankly, it becomes quite simple. You know, there's simple things that we all do. And I think nutritionally, that's one of the things that we need to start to do that will affect our health in a very transformational way sometimes. I know even from my own experience with having chronic illness, as soon as you start to really rely on healthy options, especially when it comes to your nutritional values, you can affect change pretty easily. So you have patients that, you know, they're asking you these, what can I do to help myself get better?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we have kind of a wide variety of patients, and thank you for promoting us. We're almost doctors, a couple more years for most of us, but we are seeing a lot of patients. And I'm on family medicine right now, which a big piece of that is seeing patients with chronic lifestyle problems, diabetes, you know, your heart disease, your chronic renal failure, hypertension, hypercholesterolemia, all your and also difficulty sleeping. Obstructive sleep apnea is also a big one. So it's kind of affecting all parts of their lives. And sometimes patients are ready to change, but it's usually a really tough change because you go out with friends and you go out to a restaurant and they typically, it's pizza or burgers or something like that. So we can talk to them once, maybe motivate them. But it's a real uphill battle. And so we're just trying to flatten out that hill for after people, you know, make that commitment.
Yeah, and I like it because then what you basically do is you reach out to the community and found these restaurants are willing to participate in that. So why don't you guys just tell us the ones that you approached right here in Worcester and the ones and actually how receptive have they been to them?
Sure. So a couple of the restaurants that we've worked very closely with and have gone very far with as far as the certification process are Flying Rhino, as well as Nancy Chang's and Wooberry. And some of the other restaurants that we're currently working with are Ceres Bistro and
Evo, right?
In Evo, correct. And they've actually been incredibly great and open to what we're doing. They've been very interested in it, including the chefs. A lot of them are really interested to hear how they can make their meals more helpful for people. And we've found that they really do want to provide good choices for people. It's just a matter of them being able to do it in a way that they can still make a profit off of it and still make it taste good. Because I think that's a big thing. We don't want people just eating a piece of lettuce. We want people to have a complete meal with complete proteins if they're eating something that's vegetarian or just really something that tastes good, because I think that's the most important thing. If it doesn't taste good, people probably aren't going to order it. So that's one way we really try to work with the chefs to just substitute things and make the dish still work and just to make sure that it's sustainable in the long run. And people do look for the Wu Food Certified options.
Absolutely. True. So, you as a doctor, I wanted you to get a little bit into that, explain that concept of that construction-related theory that we were speaking of in our interview. Could you call that again?
We couldn't quite hear you. I think we're having a little bit of problem with the phone connection.
Oh, are you? Yeah, I'm sorry. I said when we talked in our interview at UMass, you were talking about a construction-related theory when we were speaking of about the concept of the stairs being like in the front of the building as opposed to the back. You called that something. I can't actually know the term.
Yeah, we got you now. that we heard the enough anyway. So you're referring to, I think, the choice architecture.
Right, exactly.
And or behavioral economics. And what that's basically saying is that the way a choice is presented to somebody affects the choice that they ultimately make. So McDonald's has apples that could come with their kids' meals. You can ask for them. But only 11% of parents ask for the apples to come with kids' meals. So that's because the fries come with it by default. They come with them automatically, and not many people go out of their way to ask for apples. And we'll give props to McDonald's for this one. They actually recently reduced the amount of fries, and now all the meals come with less fries and some apples on the side, some apple slices. So that's kind of choice architecture, because you can imagine that a parent can say, no, I don't want the apples, just give me the fries. But a lot of people don't do that. They still have the choice to, but it ends up that more people would end up with apples. And we did mention stairs as well as kind of a more concrete example of choice architecture, where if somebody was going to walk into a building that has stairs, if the first thing they see is a big elevator and it's right in the middle, then chances are they're going to take the elevator. And if the stairs are in the corner and hidden away, they may not even find them. But on the flip side, if the stairs are right in the middle, they're big and inviting, more people will take the stairs. Not everybody, and that's kind of the point of our program. They can choose to go find the elevator. It's not too far away. Just like the burger is not too hard to order on a menu, but it's easier to order the healthy options. That's the direction we're going in.
Right. So where you strategically place those items, and, some of you healthy stuff is way at the back.
Can we give that one more shot? Sorry.
Yeah, you know what I think I need to do? Let me hang up for a second. You guys hang up. I'm going to hang up and I'm going to call back.
Okay, give me that shot. So while we're waiting,
all right. Steve, all right. I think you there?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Is it better now?
Right now, I think it is. Yeah, let's go with that.
So, yeah, so what I was saying is that, you know, I know on the menu, the healthy option is kind of buried in the back of the menu. And you're talking about that with that theory, if you place it out available, people are going to have more likely choose that option.
Yeah, exactly. The a lot of times a restaurant will have a vegetarian option or a healthy option, but it's kind of stigmatized. It's like thrown into a corner of the menu that says, hey, I'm the loser that has to order the healthy meal, rather than the, you know, being integrated into the menu. And that's kind of what we're after. We don't want it hard to find. We don't want it to be the kind of the lame, you know, the lame option on the menu. We want it to just be normal.
Yeah, instead of being segregated, it's right part of the main option in the menu, which I like.
And also with this, we're trying to get a paradigm change as far as what people expect when they go out to eat. We really want people to begin going into restaurants and really almost demanding the WHO Food Certified options, saying that they want to eat healthier, they want more fruits and vegetables included in their meals, they want less salt. Really, they want the essence of the WHO Food criteria built into each one of their meals. And once we get doing that, it really hopefully will inspire them to make changes in their home as well as when they go out to restaurants and just encourage healthier eating all around.
Right. Absolutely.
So another thing I'd add is a lot of people have this image in their mind that health food, you know, that what does that bring to mind? Like maybe fruits and vegetables, but some people it also brings to mind I don't know, power bars and things that just like don't necessarily taste particularly good. No offense to power bar company or anything, but that's kind of a problem, you know. Oh, is that health food or something? You know, in comedy, it's kind of, there's some episodes that were on recently, New Girl, I think, and I don't know if anyone's seen that, but she ordered, she had bread at the table, and then she made just a little comment to the waiter, like, oh, can I get some more bread? There's only some, like, health bread left or something. And, of course, it's, she was saying that in jest, but that's kind of how a lot of people see it. So we don't want them to have to order the health food. We just want it to be healthy food everywhere, because a lot of cultures, you know, the Mediterranean culture, you know, in Italy, at least in the past, in Greece in the past, ate a healthy diet, and that was just normal to them. They didn't say, oh, this is healthy food, this is going to make me live longer. They just did it because that's what their diet was, and it was normal. So we don't want to have patients have to, and customers have to go up there and say, I want a health food diet. No, I just want to be able to walk into a restaurant, and that's what most of their food is, and that's the easy choice. And if they're health conscious, then they can also look for it with their symbol.
So, Steve's going in. Are you there, Zane?
Hey, hello? Can you hear me?
I can. I got an echo, too. I mean, you're echoing. I'm echoing. I called back
That's
in.
Not good.
I don't know what's going on. No.
Guys, have you tried to get the cafeterias at the hospital to do this?
That's a great question, and it's actually one we hear the most. Are you an employee or?
What? Am I what?
Are you an employee or?
No, I'm just curious.
No.
I'm where I'm going with this is I know they said that you had been avoiding chains because they're so difficult, but it just seems to me if you could get one big one on in some way, it might help. I don't know. So that's why I was asking if you made any headway with the hospital.
Yeah, so we actually have been talking to some people who, there's actually a special task force in the hospital to work on the cafeteria. So we have been talking to them, and they're actually interested in having a conversation with us and kind of seeing what WHO Food can do for the cafeteria. And we're really hoping that that goes well. Obviously, you know, in any big institution, there can be some momentum or, you know, it can be hard to make a change. But I think, yes, that's definitely one of our targets. It's also one
of the...
Do you
have a McDonald's? Do you have a McDonald's in your hospital? I know some of them do.
No, fortunately, we do not have a McDonald's. But, you know, you walk in, and one of the easiest things to do is go up and get a burger or a fried chicken sandwich or a fried fish sandwich. Those are the quick and easy options. So we'd like to see that shift more to include things like fruits and vegetables, salad, and really just more things prepared in a more healthful way.
Right, absolutely. And, I mean, most of the menu options that you guys certify and say that are WooHoo acceptable already do those things that, like I talk about on my white page, which includes the reducing sodium, the sugars, the bad fats that are involved in those. I know the several ones that we tried at the Rhino, and I'm sure I've had the privilege of eating at most of these restaurants that you've already targeted. So they really do have some great, healthful options that incorporate still great flavor. I mean, the couple of things that we had there at the Rhino were just were top-notch. They were very flavorful, and they're very, very good for you, too. And it's like you said, you know, so it allows a group of people can go out and they're diversified in their eating taste, and the healthful person can get just as great a meal as the person that loves the greasy fries and the fatty ribs.
Yeah, Steve, I think you make a great point just in saying that the WooFood certified options tasted really good, because we don't want people to go in and just order it because it's the WooFood certified option. We want them to go in and order it because it tastes good. So we really, that's more what we're trying to focus on as well, is just making it available and delicious.
Absolutely.
And nutritious.
And nutritious.
Yeah, because that really is, you know, the end result is that, you know, as nutritious as possible is going to relate to our health. You know, I keep always saying that it's the quality of our food intake directly results in the quality of our health. I'm sure you guys would totally agree with that. As a question, as up and coming doctors, how important do you think it is for us to be taking maybe some certain natural supplementation in order to bolster our nutritional intake? You know, nutritionally speaking.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question, actually. And it kind of addresses something that we are working on ourselves. We have a lot of people, a lot of restaurants that, and people in general that emphasize local, organic, natural, and a lot of times are into supplementation as well. And now these aren't all bad things. These are all actually great things, but they aren't necessarily synonymous with good health. If you have local, organic, natural cheese and red meat and sausage and all that, it's still going to be saturated fat, still going to be bad for your health. So I kind of have a saying that's like, if it's a local, organic, natural heart attack, it's not really better than any other heart
attack. Right.
And so going along with that and supplementation, there's certain circumstances when supplementation is good. A lot of organizations, Harvard School of Public Health, recommends a multivitamin for everybody, just because not everybody has a great diet, and chances are, you know, it's just kind of to cover yourself. So basic multivitamin. Another thing that most people are deficient in is vitamin D, and that's probably the only supplement that I think is widely supported by doctors and other researchers. Especially for people that live up in the Northeast like us and don't see the sun all that often. It's one thing that's good for bone health and potentially for preventing cardiovascular disease, heart disease, and all that. So, you know, I would talk to your doctor or anything before you started anything like that. But vitamin D at like 1,000 units, international units, which is like just one kind of pill for that, is usually recommended. Other than that, you know, it's very individual and depends on health, certain health problems. Fish oil is pretty well supported. by the literature, especially if somebody has heart disease. Again, you talk to your doctor and stuff about doses, and that's right. But for the most part, we don't want people to have to think about supplementation. That's, if it's built into built into your diet, you shouldn't have to supplement almost anything, except maybe vitamin D. If you eat fish, like salmon, other fatty fishes like tuna, you don't need to supplement with fish oil, especially if you don't have heart disease already. Eating your greens is going to get you vitamin K, and you're going to have plenty of fiber from that. You really shouldn't have to supplement anything if you have a completely healthy diet. It's just unfortunate that the majority of Americans don't have a completely healthy diet, and sometimes they have to supplement.
True. It's true. I mean, even though I've delved into it the last couple of years, it's you have to eat a great, you know, it's like Dr. Heyman and Dr. Oz have told me, you know, eat the rainbow. Try to eat as many different varieties and colors as possible. Because, you know, every single taste of food has different helpful effects on our body. That's what I like about your alternatives and the menus that I've eaten so far, is that they incorporate a nice variety of different healthful foods, including the salads and stuff. You're getting, I forgot what it was out there, but it had like avocado and stuff on it. You're getting good fats, you're getting good kinds of brain-healthy foods, heart-healthy foods that can have a positive effect on our health.
I know for me as
Go ahead.
I know for me as a gastric bypass person, there's no way that I could eat enough food to get what I need, so I take heaps of supplements. But I think for your average person, that's, you know, that would be really ideal to not have to do that, I think.
Definitely, and
there's only a few things that doctors recommend, and vitamin D is one of those things that I think across the board now, on the average in this country, everybody seems to, not everybody, but nowadays a lot of people need a little bit of that, and of course a multivitamin is a great thing because you're getting a little bit of everything that we need. I mean.
Yeah, definitely. And as you mentioned, as we were saying, it's really, it's individual once it gets past the basic advice. And I know, Steve, you kind of use some supplements, and of course, this is all depending on your individual health goals and discussion with other healthcare providers. And of course, in gastric bypass, you're going to need to supplement because you just simply can't get enough. So that makes complete sense to us.
All right. Sure. So back to your concept, how many new restaurants do you have on the horizon targeted, and what has happened in some of the ones that you've approached that, we don't have to mention any names, but just the ones that kind of just decided to not want to incorporate any healthy stuff.
Sure. I'd like to say that, first of all, most of the restaurants we talked to were actually very supportive. So even the ones that weren't kind of outright ready to start the program right now kind of gave us the impression, you know, hey, that's a great idea. Come back to us in a little while and kind of reevaluate. You know, we've only had, I'd say, less than a handful of restaurants who have kind of said, no, we're really not interested at all. And I think those restaurants, they kind of dismissed it before really understanding what the project is all about. We really designed it such that any restaurant could become WU Food certified, even kind of with their tradition and what they already kind of put out. It's really a matter of supplementing here and there, and also kind of tweaking proportions almost more than anything else. So those restaurants that have expressed interest were really excited about the project because they saw it as kind of a tool for them to show that they are doing the right things.
Right.
And just to build on what Adam was saying a little bit,
not only does it give them additional tool, but it's kind of an advertising tool for them because it's just one more thing that they offer. So if they have a group of people and one person wants to eat healthy, another person wants a burger with fries, and another person wants something kind of in between, they can go there as a group and each person can get what they want. So they really just prevent people from saying, oh, I don't want to go there. They don't have any helpful options. It just opens up an extra door.
Does. And so many people are thinking that way nowadays. You can just tell by going into your local grocery store how many more helpful options there are. People waking up to that the importance of our nutritional intake. And across the board, I see where this has that national kind of potential, especially in major cities around the country. Because, you know, the times, they are changing. You know, it's that song. It seems like the more people actually get interested in their own health, and, you know, it seems like I was mentioning in the beginning in the intro before you guys came on, I've met so many people through this that have turned to nutritional healing, as so to speak, and it always seems that they've had themselves or someone in their family has had these kinds of health problems where they've decided that they've got to change the way they look at food, you know? And it's like Hippocrates says, let thy food be thy medicine, let medicine be thy food. And, you know, I think sometimes the view of food in this country is kind of swayed. It used to be it should be considered a fuel for our bodies. And sometimes I think we use it in a different way. We think of it as a comfort in our society, we use food as a celebration. I mean, we use food as such a social entity, but sometimes we just disregard it as just being able to keep us alive and survive. And I know I've certainly learned, and obviously you doctors know that, you can actually invoke disease by the way we eat. I know that's for certain with obesity. And the simple little things that you can change, will affect your health in a major way. And also, I wanted to suggest that anyone that would like to call in, that number again is 347-989-1473. That number again is 347-989-1473. So, Z, do you have any other questions you'd like to ask the WooFoo boys here? Z, still there? Maybe not.
I'm here.
Oh, are you? Do you have any other questions you'd like to ask them?
I'm just curious. Guys, what is the status of doctors' education in the way of nutrition these days? Because I remember reading years and years ago that it was like hardly ever touched on, and I'm just wondering if that area has improved very much.
Unfortunately, as you know, Adam and I are both second-year medical students. Mitch is a third-year medical student. And we have not gotten much at all in the way of nutrition. Everything that we've learned, we've really had to go out and kind of learn on our own. We learn about vitamins and what diseases they can cause if you have a deficiency in it. But as far as just simple, practical, how to eat healthy tips, we don't get anything like that. And I really think it's too bad because, as Steve was saying, it can really cause so many different diseases by having a bad diet. And there's so much that could really be done in order to improve people's health just by implementing a healthier diet. And I think that the doctor can really be the first line of defense to help people kind of change their eating habits or just even make it healthier, even if they already do have a relatively healthy diet.
Yeah. One saying is, patients and people in general don't talk about, vitamin B12, protein, carbohydrates, and all that. They talk about food. And a lot of times medical school focuses on those micronutrients, those vitamin deficiencies, as Matt was saying. And I wasn't able to go, but there was a little symposium meeting in Boston of the Massachusetts Medical Schools to discuss nutrition education. So it's kind of a hot topic about reforming it, but it hasn't quite gotten there yet.
Carrying on with that, what are they teaching you about obesity these days?
That's kind of scattered throughout the program, throughout medical school. I mean, it's very well known, very well agreed upon that obesity puts you at risk for so many chronic diseases. The unfortunate thing, I think, it's not so much in the main curriculum, but you get a lot of clinicians that think, oh man, you know, nothing's going to change. You know, if the patient takes responsibility for themselves and changes, then great. But in the meantime, it's a little bit of a, you know, say like a little pessimistic about the ability to motivate a patient to change. And that's in part because you can tell them once, but there's not, the environment isn't really there to support it. So I don't know, what else do we get about obesity education?
I'd say one of the things kind of about medical school and obesity is that it's taught almost, you know, obviously you have to know when you're learning about cardiovascular disease, you want to know that obesity is a risk factor. But, you know, generally across medical curricula, they don't really have a course that's called obesity and describes, you know, what diseases that causes. It's always kind of, oh, the other direction. So we talk about cardiovascular disease and mention obesity as a risk factor. But, you know, I think it would be a really great idea to have something that goes the other direction and have a course more on obesity and then describe the issues that come out of that and also kind of integrate in some kind of counseling about how you treat, you know, obesity or prevent obesity versus kind of treating the effects of obesity.
Yeah, I think it would be a really good idea for doctors to try and at least have some idea how to get into the head of people with obesity issues, just like people with, you know, eating disorders, because it is such a complex mental and emotional and spiritual issue, far, far beyond the physical. And I know, really, I'm a person who believes that it's all really quite tightly integrated.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was just going to basically add that it would be great if we did get some insight into kind of the mind and life of a person living with obesity and how to go about kind of changing that. Because a lot of times the advice they give us during these lectures is just exercise and eat healthy. But what does that mean? How does that come into play in the average American's life? Go into that a little bit more, and I think you can really help change the course of people.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the concepts that we want to bring to this show as well, is try to maybe, by showing some of these real-life stories, showing some of these tremendous success stories that a lot of people like myself are having, because everybody's story is a little bit different. But we've all kind of like been there and done that, and there are different reasons that we got that way. And then there are also maybe even different motivations and reasons that we decided to get healthy as well. But I think showing the country and showing people that are kind of struggling with their own chronic illness and obesity issues out there right now, that kind of maybe even feel embarrassed to talk to their doctors, or maybe even the doctors I know in some cases are embarrassed to talk to their patients about it, or maybe they don't think that the patients will take them seriously. But I think if the show can show these wonderful examples of how people are having success and their stories, then maybe we start that emulative effect that other people will think in their communities, well, maybe I should talk to my doctor about this, and maybe I should get serious about trying to reverse my health. And maybe we can start more healthy discussions, maybe even break some of those stigmas that this country has about obesity. And
maybe big dreams should be prescribed viewing for the medical students.
That would be cool. But and let's talk a little bit about you guys' website and your Twitter and all that, because I'd like to give your social media information as well. So you have a website, correct?
Yeah, we do. And I just wanted to add one thing before we get on to that, though, about the medical school, because I did want to give UMass some credit. Well, you know, Adam and Matt are on the second year of education here. I just started my third year. And family medicine, which isn't required at most medical schools, but it is at UMass, they put a lot more effort into techniques of motivational interviewing. And they've brought us on a tour with the dietitians at UMass of a grocery store. So they are making, and this is all actually relatively new, they're making more of an effort to do what we're talking about, get into the minds of people and really understand food so that we're not just saying, go eat healthy food. I don't know what that is. But I just wanted to shout that out there because medical education as a whole, definitely lacking. UMass is definitely starting to catch up. They're putting a real effort in. And our website, it's www.woofood.org. That's singular, not woofoods. So it's woofood.org. And we're also on Twitter. And we will be on Facebook soon.
Okay, yeah. So your Twitter is woofoods. That would be plural, correct?
Yes, yes. And you can actually link to the Twitter page through our website. And just if you follow us on Twitter, we try to put up some fun kind of health articles just explaining about nutrition and how it interacts with people's lives, as well as keep people in the Worcester area specifically up to date about the restaurants that are WHO Food certified and who we're working with. So as we're getting into our public release stage, it's going to start to become much more active.
Yeah, that's great. And in speaking of that, when is that official?
So we're holding a large meeting with restaurant owners and chefs on Halloween, I believe, so at the end of this month. And we're launching sort of around there. You know, the official launch date is really just when everybody's going to know about it in terms of a that event. It's right around Food Day, which is in Worcester. Well, it's all over the country, but Worcester is holding a celebration the weekend before that as well. And really, we just want our restaurants
right?
to be 24th. Yeah, I believe that's right. And we just want the restaurants that have signed up for it to really be ready to put out some promotions by then. So that's when we're really kind of launching. But it's kind of a smooth process. We're working on it. You know, continuously with new restaurants and restaurants that we've already approached. So it should be right around the end of October is when we'll go a little bit more public.
Awesome. Sounds great. And you're going to have a media press and all that as well when that happens?
Yeah, so we're hoping to get some coverage, especially for the meeting that we're having with restaurants. And then that way there, people can get the word out that places are WHO Food certified, and they'll know which ones are WHO Food certified and what to look for and expect. We're launching with the help of an organization called Pioneering Healthier Communities, which is from the YMCA. And they've really done a good job of getting community leaders together. And they've been a huge support to our program, so I think we're relying on them a lot to get the word out and reach other restaurants as well as the employees of a lot of the community leaders and patients and the community as a whole.
Yeah, and the Pioneering Healthier Communities is really a great organization in Worcester. They're really just trying to promote healthy lifestyles, healthy exercise and eating good. So it's really an amazing movement that's being taken on by some of the people in leadership positions in Worcester.
Sounds like a natural partnership to me. I mean, I think it's an unbelievably excellent idea. And, I really can't look. I mean, I've already recommended looking for you guys and established the relationships you have with your restaurants. And I look forward to being able to go to even more WHO Food certified restaurants in the future. I want to thank all of you guys, Adam, Matt, and Mitch for being on today. We enjoyed meeting you guys. We can't wait to keep establishing our relationship. And I can't wait to see more WHO Food certified restaurants out there. And who knows, maybe I hope the concept just keeps growing and growing and we have more change out there. So I want to thank you guys again for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us on, Steve. It was great talking to you and a couple of other people out there. And we really appreciate what you guys are doing. We think you have a really great idea, and we think you're doing a great job with it. So keep up the good work.
All right. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you guys soon. And You guys stay tuned for next week's webisode. We'll be appearing on Monday, and I believe, if I check my calendar, that would be correct, would be the 10th. That would be on October 10th will be our new webisode, which will be posted on our social media sites. Again, we want to thank the guys from Woo Foods for coming on today. I think it's a great concept, great idea. I hope it keeps going and building. And we want you all out there to keep thinking about your lifestyle and the way you're living it. And, as I always say, peace and love plus health equal harmony. And I want you guys to be well and do well. So you have a good night, and we'll talk to you.